is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Everyone's upset.
Hello, and this is JT Foreman. Welcome to episode 81 of Bitter Comics. And if I don't know if you could hear the rumbling in the background, but that was my stomach. I'm very hungry. No, actually, we've got a thunderstorm brewing outside, which, you know, since there's thunder, probably going to be some lightning. So it's a really good thing that I'm operating my computer and sensitive electronics equipment right now.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot. I'm here with my good friends, Will the Thrill. William Lushbaugh?
Will the Thrill Lushbaugh, yeah.
Or Will the Lush Lushbaugh? You didn't like that one.
No, I like Will
the Thrill. No, because a lush is someone who drinks a lot of alcohol, where you just smoke too much pot.
I don't know what I do.
Well, you're so high, you don't remember.
We'll figure it out. I'm just glad we drove here. Now that there's a chance of thunder.
Yeah, there's a chance of thunder.
That's a good thing.
Oh, I don't have any pot for you, but I do have some vodka in the freezer. But no orange juice. I can't, I don't have any orange juice.
You don't even drink. Do you drink?
I'm not a big drinker.
Then why do you carry?
It's been there for at least a year. Honestly, I don't even remember. I don't even know how long it's been sitting in the freezer.
Yeah.
But it's been there forever. When I do drink, which is rare, I always get a screwdriver, and I ask them to put in extra screw and less driver. I assume that means more orange.
So no one likes it when you do drink. Also,
when I drink, I come up with things like extra screw and less driver. Yeah. That doesn't even make sense. Which
awesome.
It's orange. A screwdriver is orange juice and vodka. Which would you consider the screw, and which would you consider the driver? Because actually, I think vodka might be the screw and orange juice is the driver. Because I think the driver is the thing that gets you, lets you move.
Well, and it allows you to keep drinking.
Yeah, it's orange juice in there, so it covers the flavor enough that you can tolerate. At least that I can tolerate it. Because I don't have any moral opposition to alcohol or drugs or any of these other things that people love doing. But I just never liked them at all. You know, we'll get into that later. I got off track. We should do the intro. Also with us is
I like how you went from introducing me to come in to say I've never liked drugs and alcohol.
I don't know how we did that, but somehow I managed. Also here with us is Williams. Is it older or younger brother?
Older brother.
Older brother.
Older little brother.
Older brother who's a head shorter. About 6 inches shorter?
Yeah.
From
the ground.
But new friend, this is Michael Lushbaugh.
Yes.
Mike.
How's it going?
Mike the Spike. He got spiky hair.
Yes, I do.
Cool. a fellow Navy veteran, so I'm sure we'll get into that later. But we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So, for my insensitivity in episode 80, I would like to apologize to black people, buzzes, handheld mice,
ooh,
as opposed to the trackball. Or not the trackball, as opposed to the pad.
So
thing
we're talking about computers. We're not talking,
yes, we're
about,
talking about computers.
Mice's
yeah.
pets.
Yeah.
Okay.
No? Okay.
And my shoes.
You're apologizing to your own shoes.
Yes, I'm apologizing to my shoes. Last episode, I allowed Carmen Gefkin to talk shit about my shoes, and my shoes are very sad about that. So I felt I should apologize to them.
You need to replace these shoes with actual people in your life.
You're probably right. Well, you know, the problem is when I talk to people in real life, they don't talk back.
Oh, okay, yeah. But the shoes.
But I can hold a conversation with my shoes.
Yeah.
If you'd like to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things, or to send us any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and then the subject line, please don't put the handheld mic in the hand of the quiet guy. If you'd like to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things, check out episode 80 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. And I screwed up the intro, so fuck it. Let's just move on with the rest of the show. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Good.
Anything exciting been happening lately in your lives?
No, I just want to lengthen that that apology, Liz.
You want to lengthen the apology? Yeah. You feel I should have apologized to more things, or the apologies that I did do should have been more?
Well, because like every week it's black people for some reason.
Yes.
But I don't know how that happens. But I figured it would.
I've explained
extreme,
that before.
Like,
I'm
specific. Like,
I'm a white guy. I probably owe some black people an apology for that.
Oh, okay.
If I say something shitty about black people, I have to apologize to black people. And if I don't say something shitty about black people, I have to apologize to black people for neglecting them.
Oh, okay.
So,
do you say positive things about? No.
You know, if I were going to say positive things about black people, I have no idea what that might be.
And you don't.
And now I have a reason to apologize to black people next week.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. God damn it.
You know, they're so polite and understanding when you're in a movie theater, and no, that's, let's move on.
Yeah.
I'm going to get beat up.
Yeah, I got fired from my job today.
Really?
Terminated, yeah. That thing that that learn with laptops thing, that job.
I talked to you about that. You said that there was some door to door thing signing people up for, it had something to do with the No Child Left Behind and signing people up for free online tutoring or something.
Yeah.
And I told you I'd be interested in it, and I didn't hear. You asked me for my address, so I could give it to you so you could put my name down to start doing that. And then I didn't hear from you again. And then on Saturday, I get a call from the person who I assume was your boss asking me for my address because she needed to know where to send the check to. So, I haven't actually done any work for them yet, so I'm not sure what to do. I was like, well, maybe Will is pulling a fast one. I don't want to screw this up for him, so let me call him first and find out what's going on. Yeah. So then I called you, and I was like, yeah, someone named Sandy wants to pay me money? What's going on here?
Yeah.
And then now the next I hear from you is that you were fired from it. What exactly was the job, and what were you fired for?
Okay, well, basically, the job was like, I was supposed to be like a marketing manager for the Fresno area, county area.
Okay.
And I was supposed to hire people to promote this Learn with Laptops program, which it offered free online tutoring, and it was funded by No Child Left Behind and whatnot.
Okay.
But the company is based in India, and I guess they're funded through the state here because they're a private company that's funded through that. To like provide that online tutoring.
So let me get this straight.
And then so we're supposed to market and get signatures of kids every day, and I was supposed to email her.
The government is outsourcing No Child Left Behind to India.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
What else?
It's all legit too. Like
what else?
Legit, yeah.
What else, JT?
JT looks very upset right now. What? But that,
okay.
But here's the catch. Like the other name of the company was, what is it? I don't know Spanish well. Computadora gratis para ti, which is like you get like a free computer. Like what it was is like the kids would get free online tutoring and a free iPad, and so we're supposed to promote like free iPad.
or
so
laptop.
No Child Left Behind is like you have using
No Indian Child Left Behind is using online is using the same scheme as these online scams to. To get at people now.
Yes.
Oh, free iPads, because I see that a lot, and every time I see it, I think to myself, oh, you know what? I don't think I'm going to take that, because I don't want a virus on my computer. Yeah. No!
Yeah. But see, yeah, so, like, I don't know, like, it was weird, and, like, the lady who hired me, she paid me my first check, you know what I mean? Because I went to some school board meetings, like the Madera School District meeting, and my brother went to a Dinuba School District meeting. I had him represent me, and then...
Okay.
I was supposed to go to a Fresno one, but she didn't end up having me do that. But like they just told us the rules with the marketing thing and everything, and they just gave us forms to copy and send to. And we were just supposed to take notes and send them back to the company. And then when we're supposed to start marketing, we end up not doing the Fresno area. And she just always seems sketchy. Like she's always like really really loud, and like she's very vague about everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, it's a good thing. Like, you know, like, yeah, the kids will get iPads and just sign people up, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, she paid me, though, and I still have the iPad. And but then, like, I just...
Well, so you got a paycheck and a free iPad out of this.
So far.
Michael, did you get paid anything?
Not yet. I'm supposed to get paid tomorrow. You said you went and did work,
so... Okay, so you're supposed to get paid
tomorrow.
Yeah,
I did work in a field, basically.
Because I only had three... We only worked one day because they had us do Kings Canyon Joint, which is out in the farm areas by Reedley and stuff like that. And there's, like, no...
It was terrible.
You couldn't go door-to-door anywhere.
Well, you'd have to drive from one door to the next because no one lives within walking distance of each other up there.
And they paid us mileage, yeah. But, like...
And then they paid you mileage?
Yes. But she said, then I tell her this, and like, you know, we can't, there's no people out here to do this job. Like, it's straight up farms and shit, you know? Yeah. And so I tell her this, but she ends up telling me that we didn't even get we're not doing Fresno this year. They're not doing SES. So okay. that's the only area we're approved for. So
I mean, come on, if any children in California are being left behind, it's the kids in Fresno.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah. So she said they're not having SES this year, which is Supplemental Education Services in Fresno.
Okay.
And then so she says we're doing Kings Canyon Joint only and just to keep trying. And then I just stopped going because I was like, this is stupid. I'm just going to wait to see what she does and just let her fire me. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? If you were getting paid, I would have kept doing it. You know, no matter how ridiculous the job is, if my paychecks are coming and I'm not breaking the law. I would have kept doing it, unless you just hated the job or it wasn't paying enough. I mean, if they're
like, it was just uncertain because they already worked and we were just all uncertain, like, yo, like, are they still going to get paid? Like, if the checks are going to come in, which they should come in tomorrow or today. So I was kind of, like, not doing anything because she wasn't saying anything about it because a lot of people weren't doing anything because everyone's just left confused. We haven't been given much information on even what to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then freaking, like... So I was just kind of waiting to see if they get paid, and then I was going to keep doing it and just say that we're doing stuff and not get any signatures or anything.
Well, maybe you can call her back or something.
Yeah,
we'll
call her back. We can call her back and maybe say we just forgot to send or it didn't send or something like
that.
Well, unless she hears that. Well, I doubt she'll hear this podcast.
Honestly, this kind of sounds like the week when I went through the training to sell Rico, not Rico, what was that, vacuum cleaners?
Kirby
vacuum cleaners, because, you know, I saw an ad in the paper. I was like, make up to $1,200 a week, and I was like, oh, okay, well, let's see what this is. And I go to the interview, and the guy is like, tell me, look, this is not door-to-door sales. People have already purchased the equipment. You're delivering it to them and showing them how to use it. And I was like, okay, you know what, I can do that. So I show up for the first day of training, and okay, well, you know, you're going to be showing the product to potential customers. I'm like, wait a second. I thought they already bought the stuff, and we're just delivering it and telling them how. At least that's what you told me in the interview. And he's like, well, it's not like you're just knocking on doors and getting random people, though. These are people who've made an appointment for a sales rep to come and show them the equipment. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I can do that. And then the very first day we're supposed to start actually working, they put us in the van, drag us out to Visalia, and say, okay, go start knocking on doors. Or not Visalia, Sanger. And okay, go start knocking on doors. I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. Was anything you guys told me true? Are these even actually vacuum cleaners? Because... Yeah. Everything they told me throughout the 1 week of training was a lie. I mean, if I can't I can't work for them if I can't even trust they're not going to lie to me. I mean, you know, I understand that sales is okay. Well, they lie to the customers a little bit to try, but they're going to lie to me. I can't trust them at all. You know, so after the first day, I went in the next morning. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to work for you guys anymore because everything you told me was a lie. I mean, you said this and it was a lie, and you said this and it was a lie, and you said this and it was a lie. And the lady's like, well, hold on, give me just a minute, and let me talk to the son of the owner. He's in charge of our sales force. And this is the guy who did the interview. He comes, he storms into the room, gets in my face and starts yelling at me, I never lied to you about anything. You ever say I lied again, I'll kick your ass. Whoa. So I just pushed him out of my way and left. I didn't see any point. So the worst part about it is that the Kirby is actually a great vacuum cleaner. It really is. It's a great piece of equipment because, you know, I would vacuum a rug with another vacuum cleaner that has, you know, that's new, and this was part of the test that they were showing us during the training. Is, you know, it's new. It's got a new filter in it. It's clean, and you go and you vacuum a piece of the rug. until you stop hearing it picking things up, right? So, okay, the Rugly is probably pretty clean. And then they put this other filter thing over the or on the Kirby and run over it in just one pass, and it's just black. So the Kirby vacuum cleaner is cleaning the rug better than the other one, but their sales method is so fucking evil. And the bullshit evil? That they're pulling on even their own employees. You know, while there was a couple things that happened while I was out listening to the other sales guys talk about it, or why I say that their sales methods are evil. And we're going to take a break real quick, and when we come back, I'll tell you about this. This is Jason Foreman.
The evil of Kirby.
Yeah, the evil of Kirby. I'm telling you. He's worse than the Kirby video game character. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And that yellow puff of bullshit was just evil. Evil.
Yeah, we all fucking
he's worse
hate
than
him.
Evil Puppy yeah. from Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Puppy. Evil Puppy?
Yeah, I do no,
remember
I don't. Puppy.
Evil just, Puppy was awesome. Okay. Awesome.
10 seconds every time.
We're going to take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with William Lushbaugh and Michael Lushbaugh with Bitter Comics. Be right back. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with William Lushbaugh and the evil Michael Lushbaugh. Wait, he's not evil. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. Okay, so I was talking about the evil of the Kirby sales force. Okay, so this guy was bragging about how he convinced someone to trade in their old Kirby vacuum cleaner and buy a new Kirby vacuum cleaner, but it was the exact same model number. So it's not. It's like if you own a 2006 Ford Mustang, and the dealership convinces you to trade it in and buy a 2012 Ford Mustang. Well, okay, you're getting the same car, but it's a newer one and all that, and it's different car. You know, they change things on it. But this would be like if you have a 2012 Ford Mustang, they convince you to buy a 2012 and a half Ford Mustang and trade in your old one and pay like 75% of its cost to upgrade to the new one. And this guy's bragging about how he talked someone into doing this.
That's shitty. That's a shitty way to make a living. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a really shitty way to make a living. And it was a lot of talk about scams like that they would pull on people. And then there's also just that the retail price that they told us on what this vacuum cleaner we were supposed to sell it for was $1,695. And the guy who is the sales one of the sales managers with us, he's apparently worked for Kirby in other locations, and he said, "Well, it's a good thing we're not in. You think that's bad? In San Diego, the retail price is $26.95. So because it's a richer neighborhood, they're charging $1,000 more for the exact same piece of equipment. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
I can understand a car having a destination cost because it costs money to deliver a car from Detroit to San Diego.
Yeah.
It costs money to do that. And then the price will be a little bit more in San Diego than it will be in Fresno because real estate's more expensive there. It's more expensive to operate. But $1,000 more for this vacuum cleaner that they're already charging too much for. And just out of curiosity, I asked, what was the least that this guy had ever sold one for? And he said, well, the lowest I've ever gone on a new vacuum cleaner was $1,000. But they'll go down to as little as $800. But you're only going to get about $100 commission on a sale if you only sell it for $800.
So they would pressure you to just...
Yeah, so they're having us... This thing, if they're willing to sell it for $800 and give you $100 commission on that, I mean, because I stores will give a 10% commission, but that's 12.5, so that's still better than you would get. Like I know someone who worked for Sears, and I don't know if they still do this, but they used to give a commission to all of their salespeople. Even if someone just came in and bought a screwdriver. And you're the one who happened to be at the register when you sell to them, you get like 10. You got like 10% or something.
Yeah, they did that at Levi's too, but they didn't really give us more money. They just gave us more hours.
Yeah,
like you would just work no hours if you didn't.
Yeah, yeah. But it just was such a horrible, horrible methods of selling. And you know, I had to go out with another person who was an experienced salesperson to watch him sell to other people. And he told me, unless someone directly asks you a question, don't answer, and try to be as vague as you can, and always direct everything back to me that anyone asks you, because you know you're the new guy. You can just use that to say, "Oh, well, ask him. He knows more about this than I do." And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to him do the sales pitch, and there are things that I know aren't true about this piece of equipment that he's saying, because during the training. They told me that there was someone who tried to, because there's all these weird attachments that come with the vacuum cleaner,
yeah.
And there was someone who used it to paint their car. They put different attachments on it, and you know, turned it into a blower, and then put this other thing on there, and they actually used their Kirby vacuum cleaner to paint their car. But then they had to replace one of the hoses because it had the paint on it and they couldn't get it cleaned off. Mm. And so, you know, so they only had to replace one hose. So that's not a big deal. But still, you had to replace something in order to do it. At least that's what the guy told me during the training. But when we're there selling the thing to this guy, he starts listing off the things you can use it for. And he told him about, well, someone used it to paint their car, and you know, the thing, they were able to just turn right around and vacuum their house again with it. I was like, well, no, they couldn't. They had to replace this hose
that they
used. I didn't say that, but that's what I'm thinking. I was like, no, they didn't. That's not true. What you're telling this person is going to damage part of the machine, because you know, the car paint is not the same as house paint. This isn't water based. It's not going to come off. You know, and if you use paint thinner on this stuff, well, this plastic hose is going to get mangled by the paint thinner. So, at least I think it will.
Won't it melt?
Yeah, like,
can it melt?
Paint thinner will melt plastic.
Right.
You know, so we'll eat through plastic. At least I think so. So, but I that was far from the only thing. But just the whole thing was sketchy.
Yeah.
And then when we're in the van and these two guys are talking, and I said something about, well, I just better hope nobody ever finds out about that. And he turns to me and says, "Hey, man, you don't ever talk about this stuff. We got a code."
A Kirby salesman.
A Kirby salesman code.
What do you say?
What do you think? You're Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? We have a code.
What did he say?
I said to him, "Honest people don't need a code." And that was, you know, everyone just kind of growled at me after that, and no one would talk to me anymore, which is good. Then we get back to the place, I get my car, went home, next morning I came in, and I just told him I quit. You know, I didn't feel right just not showing up. I just don't think that's the right way to handle anything, to just not show up. So I felt obliged to go in there and tell them, yeah, I'm quitting, and here's why. But and then the guy got all aggressive with me, like he was going to attack me or something. And that's the worst part, is that Kirby's a great machine. It really is. It was a great vacuum cleaner. Got the rug really clean.
Not for the price, though.
But yeah, they charged too much. You know what?
It's crazy.
Fuck no.
I wish they would just take the thing. And okay, they give $100 commission on the sale of it for $800. So you put a price of $700 on it. Put it in Sears. I would expect they'd sell a whole lot more of them, but for whatever reason, they've just decided, hey, let's. It seems to me that they've just decided, hey, you know what? We can make a lot more money if we have all these high pressure salespeople gouging people.
Yeah, that's like
the only. Yeah. Anyway, in my rant about Kirby, I can't even remember.
Fuck Kirby. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I don't remember what you were talking about that I interrupted before we got on this.
On the Kirby thing?
No, but yeah, before we got on the Kirby thing. Do you remember what?
Hell no, I don't remember. We were talking about something, then we talked about Kirby, took a break. So I don't remember what it was about.
Well, what's the shittiest job you guys have? Let's start with you, because I've been Mike, let's start with you, because I've been, okay. Me and Will, actually mostly me, have been doing all the talking.
What's the
shittiest job you ever had, and why was it shitty? It doesn't just have to be the work is hard. So don't say, oh, well, I was a dishwasher at so-and-so place,
no,
and it was hot there all
day. I never did that. I don't think I've ever had a shitty job. The Navy. That was a shitty job.
Well, you know, my experience in the Navy was, you know, like every job, it's how good or bad your boss is whether or not it's a shitty job. Because, you know, when I was in the galley in boot camp, it was 14, 15 hours a day, and I was in the dish for a few days. You know, it's washing dishes for 14 hours straight. Yeah. You know, and but it wasn't all bad because you know, I was allowed to just do my work and be left alone. What part in the Navy? What circumstance or what jobs did you have to do? Because you do all kinds of stuff when you're in the Navy. What was your rating first?
I was a dental tech.
You were a dental technician?
Yes.
Are you working in a dentist office now? Nothing seems to translate to the civilian world.
No.
Have you tried?
I'm actually trying now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what were there any what jobs when you were in the Navy that you ended up having to do were suck?
The deck department.
Oh, you ended up in deck?
Yeah, for 6 months.
What ship was
when
that?
When I first got on the ship.
Oh, so in deck you ended up ship were you on?
The USS Dubuque.
What kind of ship is that?
An LPD ship. A marine taxi.
Okay, so you were on a troop transport ship, basically.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
And so they actually had a dental on board that ship.
Yeah.
Because I was on the Puget Sound as a repair ship, and we had a dental department there.
Oh, yeah.
But most ships don't have a dental department.
No, it was small. The room was small.
Right.
But
you had, like, 4,000 Marines on board when you were deployed.
No. We really didn't carry that much. Our ship was small.
Oh, okay.
So 4,000 would be.
Oh, okay.
Like,
oh, so you weren't carrier. You weren't on one of the big ones.
No.
You weren't the helicopter carriers or something.
No.
You weren't on one of those.
No.
Okay.
Nothing fun.
So a deck department, that's basically you're scraping paint off of the side of the ship and then repainting it.
Yes, over
and over and over again.
Yes.
You'll be out to sea moving at 15 knots, so that's like 23, 24 miles an hour across the ocean, and you'll be in a harness hanging over the side of the ship with a thing to scrape paint off of the side, and then they'll lower a bucket down with a brush in it for you to paint over it again. They keep like an eighth of an inch thick of paint, lead-based paint, on the ship at all times, so that the hull does not decay from the sea air and doesn't start rusting from the salt air.
Right.
So, yeah, it is lead-based paint, right?
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
So most of the Navy is just, like, labor work, basically?
Yeah, a lot of it. A lot of it is like that. I mean, I think I spent more time mopping than I actually spent
fixing
electronics equipment.
I could have been a really good janitor.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or the both of us could have been
There are three jobs. That's
so true.
There are three jobs that everyone in the Navy comes out of it qualified to do: janitor, painter, and security guard. Because everyone in the Navy spends most of their time doing one or more of those three things.
I
stood more 4-hour watches than I could count.
I didn't like them.
Yeah, in Norfolk, Virginia, in the middle of the night, out in the cold, and for some reason, like, you'll be standing there, and you have to watch the brow, which is the ladder where people come up onto the ship. And one time, I got assigned to watch. There's another ship that was tied to us on the other side, because we're on the pier, and there's another ship tied, it's called outboard of us. So we got to have one person standing on our side of the brow that leads to their ship. And there's this little room there, right next to where the brow comes over to, that I could have just stepped inside and been a lot warmer and not be freezing to death. But no, I would not have taken a nap. I would have stood there awake to watch, but not been as freezing. No, you have to be standing out there. And
bullshit.
Harsh conditions.
It's middle of the winter in Norfolk. Pulling out of port to go out to sea, and we all got assigned to line handling. To pull the lines that hold the ship on in, and the lines are covered in ice, and they would not allow us to wear gloves, because they were afraid that our gloves would get caught on the ice on the line.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. They actually ordered us to not wear gloves while handling these ice-covered 2.5-inch mooring lines.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, in minus 10-degree weather in January. Yeah, and it was that kind of nonsense was what made the Navy so horrible. It's like the guy who was one rank above you knows everything and will not listen to anything you say, will not consider anyone else. Is like, this is the way it is.
Right.
And as if any job in the civilian world is much different, right? Yeah. I mean, because most jobs that I've had anywhere, my boss is
technically it was like having six bosses.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, they were just higher ranked.
Yeah. And there's another thing is like you'd end up getting instructions from different people that are they're different. Like I'll be in the hallway. What are you doing out here? Well, I was told to strip and wax the floor. We just did that this morning. Why are you doing it again? Because so-and-so told me to. So we'll stop doing that. I said, okay. And then I go back to my work center, and I tell my work center supervisor, yeah, I was out about to strip and wax the hallway like you told me to because you don't have any work for me to do and you're making shit up. I didn't actually say that last part to him.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. It's like you'll strip the wax off the hallway floor and then wax the floor in the morning on Friday, and you go to lunch, come back. Hey, you got anything for me to do? Or is it all right if I knock off early? Or as we'll go strip and wax the floor in the hall. I just did that this morning. Well, go do it again.
Because
he can't just say go home for some reason. He can't just say, well, you know, go in the break room and watch TV until 3:30 when you get off. You know, I would have accepted that.
Yeah.
But go strip and wax the hall again, even though you did it this morning.
Is it just because they're paying you anyways? Is why?
Well, they don't have anything for you to do, but for some reason they won't just let you go.
No, it's busy work.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of that. They would just be making things up for everyone to do, even though there's no actual work.
Yeah. That's shitty.
Yeah,
that would piss
literally.
Me off.
Yeah, and you know, and it's a. I realize the using up the wax is a small expense, but we're wasting money here too. I just stripped the wax off the floor and waxed it this morning, and now you're going to have me do it again 3 hours later.
Yeah.
You know, it's a waste of money having me do this again. You know, and that happened almost every single week.
So then, why do you say that you would wish you would have stayed in the Navy long?
Well, I was an E5 when I got out. And so I got into a rank where I wasn't the one who would have had to do all the busy work anymore. I would have been in a position to assign out busy work, and I could finally choose not to. You know, because everyone always says, when I'm higher ranked, I'm not going to be like that. But then the people who really won't be like that all get out. Like I did. And the people who will be like that, and all the people who will be like that are the ones who stay in. And then,
well, because they think it's tolerable.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, honestly, I think a lot of them, my supervisor was a shithead when I was low ranked, so now I have to get revenge by shitting on these other people. On that note, we're going to take a break again real quick. I am JT Foreman, here with Will Lushbow and Michael Lushbow. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with William Lushbow and Michael Lushbow. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, Michael.
Yes.
Okay, you were a dental technician when you were in the Navy.
Yeah, we should.
You were on a troop transport ship. Yes. That's not what it's actually called in the Navy, but just for ease of explanation
shitty
for both of our listeners.
Shitty
troop transport
shitty
ship.
Shitty 40-year-old ship.
So tell me about your naval experience. What was the worst work assignment you were ever given?
I would have to say,
I mean, no matter what your job is, you end up doing all kinds of different weird
things
when you're in the
Navy. I guess it was working in the galley.
Really?
Yeah, I hated it.
To me, the only problem with working in the galley was the ridiculously long hours. Depending on where you're at and what time, it's going to be anywhere from 12 to 18 hours a day.
Yeah, if not longer.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
And if they decide that, let's do some, we'll have an ice cream social on the flight deck.
Yeah.
Now you get to work extra hours.
Or a barbecue.
Yeah, or a barbecue.
Do you make extra money or not?
Oh, no.
Hell
of course not.
No.
Fuck this job. I would never
do
it.
What
did
they call it? Cranking.
Cranking, yes. See, they don't actually have enough people on the ship to operate the galley in order to feed everybody.
So
the lower ranking people all get to take a turn working in the galley when they first come on board the ship, and sometimes you'll end up getting to go back multiple times.
Yeah.
And so, they called it cranking.
Cranking, yeah.
So, what? what was so horrible about it, or was it just the hours?
It was just the hours.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we would have to go on watch. So, mm-hmm. 24 yeah, hours of being awake had to was
do
crazy.
You still had to do your watches while you were on? Oh, that sucked.
Yeah, we had
Did
to.
Did they make you guys take drugs to stay up later and drink coffee or something?
No, coffee.
No.
Coffee was it.
Yeah, coffee, the original energy drink.
Yes.
All you Powerade people are a bunch of fucking pussies. Go drink some coffee.
How can Gatorade. They make someone work 24 hours straight? That's
because you're in the military and they can make you do anything they want.
Yeah.
See, it's great because you have this... contract that you sign when you join, but in the bottom it says something about this contract can be altered by Congress to satisfy needs of the Navy or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Congress has already passed the law that altered that. You know, they passed the law that altered that somewhere in between the Revolution and the War of 1812. So none of the contract you sign with the military doesn't mean anything. I mean, my dad joined the military and signing a thing saying he was going to... He joined the Marines saying he was going to be an auto mechanic. And he ended up as a military police. So the contract you sign with the Navy doesn't mean anything. I was supposed to be a nuclear power technician.
Yeah. No, on the subs.
Well, no, I don't know if I would have been on subs or not. Maybe carriers, but yeah. But I ended up as an electronics technician.
Well, like you guys said, they mainly probably just make people like janitor.
Yeah, well, everyone ends up doing that kind of stuff at some point. Unless you join it as an officer. Yeah, every day.
Every day.
When you're on the ship, there's no janitor on board to clean up. So each work center is responsible for cleaning up their own work center. And so, you know, the people who are off leave and the people that are on duty, they clean up the shop before or after everyone else leaves.
Yeah. Or before.
And before. Yeah. And I always got assigned that job because I was the only person who wouldn't argue about it. As I remember Craig Kendrick, he was the head in my duty section. Everyone else would leave. The other people in my duty section would go into the back. It just would automatically walk into the back. And he would tell me to grab a broom and then sweep and mop the shop. And I would just do it because it only takes a few minutes to just get it done. But after a while, I finally said, why are you always asking me to do it? I said, well, look, I'm higher ranked than you and do what I say. Hey, no, the only reason you asked me to do it is because I'm the only one who's not going to fight you over it. You have never had anyone else do it before. And I picked up the broom and I went and I did it. And then a couple hours later, he comes up to me and says, yeah, you know what? You're right. And I said, I know I'm right. And I also know you're not going to do anything about it. You're still going to tell me to do it every time, aren't you? And he said, yeah, I am.
That's shitty. Fucking shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a hierarchy, you know?
Well, you know, it's and then I had the lowest evaluation scores of just about anyone in my work center. Because I was nobody's drinking buddy. At least that was my experience. Yeah, is that I wasn't anyone's buddy. You know, the people who got 4.0s, it seemed like that they were all buddies of the people who were, you know, the supervisor of the work center. And, you know, just like every other place I've worked at. When I worked at a Kinko's in Houston, I'm pretty sure that the girl who had the perfect evaluations was blowing the manager.
How do you know that? That's JT? Awesome.
Because she always wore white lipstick.
What does that have to do?
No, because he would constantly be, not constantly, but he would often call her into the office.
For what?
And they would be in there for half an hour for no reason.
I've been in plenty.
And then suddenly she's got 4.0 evaluations.
They were doing paperwork.
Maybe if you sat down and had a conversation. Yeah,
she was whiting some things out for him.
Yeah.
And then I had horrible evaluations, but if I were really that bad of an employee...
Well, you didn't blow him.
Yeah, you know, I should have sucked his dick.
Yeah, I feel like that shit went on a hell of my workplace.
When I started working there, this was one of the few Kinko's that was not open 24 hours. And after a couple of weeks, he asked me if I would work nights, and I said yes. So I was there. I would come in at 10. I would be there alone from 10:30 until 8:30 in the morning. And then at 9 o'clock, I would leave. So, you know, 1 hour lunch, and I had four 10-hour nights, and I was there by myself.
Yeah.
If I were really doing as bad as my evaluation said, they would not have trusted me to be there alone all night.
Yeah.
So
that makes perfect sense then, yeah. Dan, why do you get shitted over in like most jobs? Kirby,
you know, it's something to do with me. It's like there's something in me that doesn't get things. It's like one night when I was working there, and this shows what an idiot I am, I guess. One in the morning, this girl comes in, gorgeous, freaking gorgeous. And she's making some flyers and wants to get some posters made because she, I asked her what she did. We were talking while we were working on this stuff. She said she was promoting for a band, and it was a concert they have coming up, and she was getting some promo materials made up for that. Finished doing all the work, made all the posters and everything, printed it up, and her total comes to like $50 and something. And she says to me, yeah, do you think maybe we could do some kind of a trade instead? And I said, well, you know, I've never been much of a music fan, so I really wouldn't want to go to the concert, but thank you for asking. And she said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. Thanks, though.
What? So you?
And so I charged her.
You think she wanted to blow you?
And she left. And an hour later, I'm working on something. I suddenly stopped. Did she just offer to fuck me? Oh, my God. I think she offered to fuck me. I said, no. What the hell is my problem?
She should have came when your manager was working that way.
I know. She could have just blown the manager.
And then she would have.
And then I would have gotten better evaluations. And no, I can't take a hint. I don't get the clue. You know, whatever
dude,
it is.
That isn't necessary. I don't think she offered. Maybe she meant for tickets or something. What did she look like when she said it? Like, how did she stare at you? What'd she do?
She had fuck me eyes.
Oh no.
Were her tits hanging out?
Fuck me. What do fuck me eyes look like?
She was leaning on the counter.
Okay. I'm leaning on the counter right now.
And looking back on it now, I realize she was pushing her breast up because her cleavage was very pronounced.
Like it was obnoxious, or was it just a little bit?
She kind of had cleavage before, but she really had cleavage when she was leaning on the counter.
Okay.
And had this big smile on her face when she offered, when she asked me about, if I'd make some kind of a trade. And it didn't even occur to me at the time that might be what she was offering. I just didn't even think
of it.
Would
you have done the trade?
Oh, absolutely.
Why? Would it easy to get away with, or what?
No, I would honestly. I would have just paid it myself. I would have paid the
where?
I'm not going to steal from my employer. I'm not.
JT's the good prostitute.
I would rather be a John than a thief. Yeah, I guess is the point.
Well, if that would have happened, where would you have sex with her inside the kink?
Would you on a scanner?
Yeah, they have cameras all over the place. Actually. There wouldn't have been anywhere we could do anything without, because
what about the closet where the manager got blown?
Well, it's the office and it's locked.
I don't
have a key to the office. No, I didn't have a key to the office.
You could have just made a porno with all those.
Or what could you have done?
I would have fucked her right there on top of a coffee machine
and lost your job
and had it running. And but yeah, I just I don't catch the hints from people.
I guess she was trying to. Yeah, that makes sense. But
you know what? I have chosen to believe that she wanted to fuck me. Okay. Because that makes me feel good about me.
She wanted to fuck you, JT.
Well, yes, I don't want to think she's a whore. What if she's a good person?
Well, that's even better. A good person, and she felt that strong a connection.
That she wanted to fuck you, yes, to save.
Because, you know, it's just some slut who wants to save $50, wants to fuck you. Well, you know what? That doesn't mean anything. But I've chosen to believe that she was a wonderful person.
Yeah.
Probably an evangelical Christian.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Who could just sense the goodness within me.
She's like, yeah, yeah.
And she wanted a taste of that goodness. That's horrible. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break again real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with William and Michael Eschbaugh. We're the Bit of Comics, and we'll be right back. You know, it just occurred to me that I was actually intending to talk about my trip to Vegas on the podcast.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
I don't think we've even mentioned it yet.
No, we
haven't. And we're in the last 15 minutes of the podcast.
Well, save the best for last, right?
Well, yeah. We're not going to have. We're not going to have time to go through all of this. If you guys have time, we'll probably end up going late. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, I don't care.
All right, so I took my girlfriend to Vegas a couple weeks ago. A week and a half ago we got back, and had a great time. It was a lot of fun. Had sex a lot. which is always nice. That's awesome. What Vegas is for, I think.
See, that's like paying for.
You know, I shouldn't be talking about this on the podcast. I should be putting it on Facebook, because what happens in Vegas stays on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I know what they're saying is that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but that's not true.
No, not
what happens in Vegas stays on Facebook.
I'm trying to.
No, we had a really great time. We saw a bunch of shows over there. I'm not a gambler. I think I lost while we were there. I lost like $8 to ATMs, so I'm not going near a slot machine. it was like $3 or $4 to use the ATM. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm just gonna pay with my debit card for everything, and I just couldn't get any cash anymore.
So you used two ATMs then?
No, I didn't. I actually did not use the. I checked. You know, I went to take the money out, and it said it was a $4 charge, and I was like, cancel. And I did not. I can't pay $4 for my money.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah, that's retarded.
So I just didn't, you know, the cash I had gone through it already. Well, I had money in the bank, but so, you know, everything I ended up having to pay for everything with my debit card. But the guys on the bridge between Excalibur and New York selling water for $1 don't take debit. I don't know why. Yeah. I saw that a couple of times, and I thought that was kind of cool. You go to any of the, you know, the little stores inside any of the casinos, and you want to buy a bottle of water, it's going to be $5. It's like being in a movie theater.
That's terrible.
But if you're on the bridge between Excalibur and New York Casino, every time we walked by there was at least one person there with a cooler filled with bottles of water, you know, this size, like 16-ounce bottles, and for $1. So, you know, I bought water from them many, many times.
You can't get water anywhere. You can't just go inside somewhere.
Well, you just go to a water fountain if you want, I guess. But, you know, this would be cold. So, but we went. Have you guys been to Vegas?
I've been to Vegas once or twice.
I've never been to Vegas. No.
Okay.
I don't know if it's my...
Where did you go? Where'd you stay at?
4th of July at the Wynn. It was like 10 of us.
The Wynn is expensive.
There was 10 of us.
Oh, okay. How much did the room cost
there? We ended up getting a suite.
Holy crap. Well, you know what?
It was over the 4th of July, too, so I mean...
The Wynn is one of the most expensive hotels in Vegas. So even getting a suite, even with 10 of you, it was probably at least $100 a night.
It was expensive.
Yeah.
We didn't stay there long.
Yeah, I guess not.
We didn't stay there long.
I guess not. We stayed, the last time we went, we stayed at Luxor. This time we stayed at Excalibur, and it was like $35 a night. I've only gone twice, so, you know, always is two times, but I always stay, go during the week, because the rooms are so much less expensive. The same room that will be $35 a night Sunday through Thursday nights will be $150 a night Friday and Saturday nights. And during holiday times, it'll be even more. So, you know, we both times that I've gone, stayed during the week. Last time it was Monday through Thursday night. This time it was actually Saturday night through Wednesday night. But she really wanted to see Bruno Mars, and he was only going to be there on Saturday. So we had to go an extra day, and I was like, look, if you want to pay $1,000 for a room, you go right ahead. You know, I've got this trip where I got shows for four nights that I'm buying tickets for, and I got the hotel room, so that's... And so, we ended up staying at a place that was like $60, so it wasn't too bad, but the hotel we stayed at Sunday night was called the Eastern Cannery Resort or something, but it was like 15 miles from the Strip. So, it wasn't on the Strip. It was a little bit away.
How'd you have to get there? You took a cab?
I just drove.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we took her car. She doesn't like my car. She won't get in my car.
You guys drove all the way to Vegas?
Yeah. Well, it's only like 6 hours.
Oh, okay.
So.
That makes me feel
good. Yeah. But, so Saturday night we saw Bruno Mars. And the first song he sang was, I think I want to marry you, and she's like looking at me the whole time. No. So that made me feel uncomfortable. That made me feel uncomfortable.
How perfect was that?
That's so true.
So you could have taken her to the Little White Chapel.
And then you can't leave, too. You have to just be there.
Yeah, and that was the first song. I was like, dude, really? Come on. You have to play that one first? Asshole. But the last song he sang was Gorilla.
Which is, what I don't know, I'm not familiar.
One of the lines in it is, I grab your hair and you don't complain.
Mm. So just
it's like a vicious rough sex song. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, that's the one to end on. Come on, woman. No, I don't pull her hair. She pulls mine though. That's why I cut it so short now. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
No, that's real. It's gonna. I want it to be real.
Joking.
Just like you that's want. A joke. Just like you want the scanner lady to be real. I want this to be real.
The scanner lady. I want the Kinko's girl to be real. Okay. So Bruno Mars. It was a good show. Enjoyed that a lot. But I would never, if I could avoid it, I would never stay outside of the Strip again.
Just because that's so far.
The far isn't the problem because, you know, you drive there, you park in the parking garage. It's just the traffic around there when there's a major event like that is so insane. I had to drive around and make U-turns and it took me forever to figure out how to get into the parking garage. Whereas if you're staying on the Strip, well, you just walk over there. But of course, the key to enjoying a Vegas vacation is figuring out the quickest way to walk from one air conditioned space to the next.
Yeah, very hot. Because
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You've never been to Vegas, but it's hot there. The climate there, it's like Fresno, except they have things to do. So, right?
True.
Yeah,
true.
It's like the climate all is like Fresno, but they have stuff to do.
That still sounds shitty. I hate that. Dude, it's bad outside right now.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it's scary. High was like 107 today.
And it started raining when we drove up here.
Yeah, that's just weird.
It's scary.
That's weird. It's raining and thunder. It's 100 degree out. That's degrees out. That's
and it looks
odd.
Gross. Like, and it just feels sick to breathe, and it's just disgusting.
Yeah. When you were in Vegas, what did you do? Did you guys just go drink and gamble?
We went drinking. A lot of us lost money due to being intoxicated. So
you realize that that's the scam, right?
Well, of course.
They give you free booze while you're gambling.
Well, yeah, to keep you there. See, that's the good thing. Instead of buying the $1 bottles of water, you could act like you're gambling.
Well, see, actually what you want to do is go to one of the penny slot machines and only play one credit at a time and sit there and drink all day. But after a couple of drinks, you start thinking, "Oh, let's go and do the 250 credits a time."
Oh no, no.
Because it's funny. Well, the slot machines. You think, well, how do they make any money? People playing one penny at a time. I mean, even if you lose every time, it'll take you all day to win $10 off of this guy. But it's got a thing where you can bet anywhere from 1 to 250 credits. So what happens is people play the maximum. So this guy's not paying. This guy's not playing one penny at a time. He's playing 250 at a time. What I want to know is how he ever got the patience to put all those pennies in the machine. No, I'm sure he didn't.
Well, maybe he had one of those. No, maybe he had one of those cool cards.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The slot machines all have credit card readers on them now. Which that helps.
Well, yeah, that's easier. Helpful.
Man, casinos are so bad.
I know. Which is why I wish I had one. You know, I never understood the thing about when the mob owned all of Vegas. Which I think, my opinion, I don't really know. I think the mob still owns most of Vegas. It just, they realized, hey, it'd be a lot easier and a lot safer for us if we
aren't inside.
Put a corporation in between us and the casino.
Yeah.
And so now, and let that corporation run and everything. And then, yeah, we'll pay our taxes, but then, because, like, casinos seems to me to be the perfect money laundering scheme.
Yeah.
You make $100 million on drug sales. Okay. Well, you can't spend it because that kind of money is going to be tracked. Exactly. So what do? You walk into the casino that you own and you drop it all on 48 Red. or you know, well, you drop it all on the roulette table and you lose it to yourself. And well, now you don't have to tell anyone where the money that came. You don't track where the money that comes into your casino comes from. All you know is that $100 million appeared in your count room, gets counted, and is so now you pay taxes on that money, but it's legal now and you can spend.
Yeah, it's great. That's like the perfect plan, yeah.
Yeah, so that seems to me the perfect way to launder money is to just own a casino, own any sort of gambling thing where people lose money to you. Because it's not if you own businesses where you sell stuff, well, okay, you sold $100 million worth of car washes. How come you only bought $12 worth of soap this year?
Yeah.
How did you manage to do all those car washes on $12 worth of soap? So you'd end up having to explain things. But there's no actual product for a casino, right? So it's really easy to get away with all kinds of money just appearing out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And too, like, the mob, yeah, they shouldn't make...
But, yeah, the mob was like, that's money. That's my money. I'm not going to give it to the government. I'm going to keep it. Well, now the government's going to come after you, and you end up with Capone getting busted for tax evasion. Well, you know what? If he had just owned a card room and gambled all the money away to himself, when the IRS guy showed up and tried to bust him for tax evasion, he'd be like, what are you talking about? I paid my taxes. Fuck you. And he would have walked. You know, so I don't know, but it's anyway.
Well, let's
somehow we got into how I would launder money. Yes.
Well, let's do it. I want to do it. All right, now.
I'm going
to
start.
See if it works. Okay. I just found out someone told me a way to like ship weed to different like or any drugs, anything you want to different states.
Well, don't talk about that here.
Well, no, they just told me how to do it. I guess. Like, I'm not going to do it, you know?
U.S. Postal Service?
No, you
don't say it. Don't say it at all. Not on this.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'll put it in the mail.
Okay. Yeah, I just heard it. No, well, I just know. No,
you
way.
Just put it into an envelope. You put a couple of stamps on there, drop it in the mailbox, right? Yeah, that's the way to do it.
No, there's a different way. Are you guys joking? Oh, you guys are joking.
I'm joking. I don't think you would actually do it that way. All right, so you guys didn't go to any shows when you were in Vegas? You just went and gambled and lost a bunch of money?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. A lot of strip
clubs. Why are you laughing? Hey, I got off topic, but I remembered it and got back to it this time.
You went so far off topic.
Money laundering.
That's right. Welcome to JT's money laundering tips. Yeah, I'm gonna tell the mob how they should be doing things. That's right. Damn it. Instead, that's what I'm here
we
for.
Maybe talking about like
maybe they'll pay you money for it.
Well, you know, I the two times I've been to Vegas, I never gambled. Actually, no, I've been to Vegas three times. I did go once before by myself. When I was there, one day I saw Louis Anderson, and one day I saw, can't remember the guy's name, but he does a lot of impressions. He's famous for his George Bush and Bill Clinton impersonations.
No, I thought you were going to say Carrot Top there.
No. I did see Carrot Top last time I was there. Yeah,
he's the staple of Vegas.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good show. I really enjoyed it. I think I like the props.
Yeah, he's like a
comedians talk shit about him because, oh, he's just a prop comic.
Modern-day Gallagher.
I like the props.
Modern-day Gallagher.
You know, I had this joke that I used to tell about him. I was like, you know, I wonder if Alice Cooper and Gallagher ever get together and watch tapes of Marilyn Manson and Carrot Top and say, I know I've seen this before somewhere.
Well.
Because that's it, to a large extent, seems like that's what both of them are doing.
No, but Gallagher is more like, he's the fruit smasher, right? And Carrot Top does like little wordplay jokes while he pulls out.
Gallagher is known for the fruit smashing, but that's like the last 10 minutes of his set. Actually, honestly, the fruit smashing thing is a very clever satire of the late night infomercials. It really is. Watch the guy selling Ginsu knives and then watch the watermelon smashing thing of Gallagher. And you can see he's doing the same thing. He's made up this fake product that I think is actually a really clever satire of those Ginsu knife infomercials and those kind of things, you know, Ron Popeil selling you real estate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, people think, oh, the silliness, he's smashing watermelons. Yeah, but it was good. And like I said, that's only the last 10 minutes of Gallagher's thing. That's what he became most famous for. So he has to do it every time. Just like Jeff Foxworthy got famous for You Might Be a Redneck If. So he always has to do You Might Be a Redneck stuff. that's not his whole act. Yeah. You know, that's like 15% of his act is you might be a redneck. The rest of his act is, you know, straight stand-up. You know, he's got stuff he talks about his wife and raising his kids and the time he took his family to Hawaii and ended up being the Clampets go to Maui. You know, it is the bit that he did about that. And, you know, but, you know, he found this hook that got everyone into him. And, you know, I wish I would love to find my watermelon smashing or my You Might Be a Redneck. I would be thrilled if I found a Who's Your Sign thing like Bill Engvall did, or even a catchphrase like Get Her Done.
Yeah, but
you know, they became multi millionaires because they found this one thing that worked and grabbed a hold of people's imagination, I guess, or at the very least got their attention.
It's just stupid.
You know, I'd be thrilled if I found something like that.
But then you wouldn't be making that good of comedy though, stuff.
But I would be making more money, and actually, that's not true either. I don't think.
Oh yeah, like, some of the cable guy jokes are good.
Watch, Gallagher did like 11 Showtime specials in the '80s. Watch him.
Yeah.
Don't watch the watermelon stuff if you don't want to, but listen to the other stuff that he talks about.
Well, I was talking about. You know, like, he has this.
He's got this one bit where he talks about borrowing money from banks. That I think is really clever and says something really important about the system of borrowing money amongst people. Because it's like this poor person goes in there and says, yeah, I want to borrow money to buy a house. And it's like, well, what do you got as collateral? And he said, well, you can have my son, because if we don't get out of that apartment, I'm going to kill him anyways. And it's like, well, we're not going to loan you any money. Get out of here. And then this other person comes in and says, yeah, I have $50,000. I want to use it to build this house. No. We'll take that money, put it in the bank. We'll loan you this nice new money. You can build the house and rent it to that poor son of a bitch that we just sent out of here. So the rich guy who doesn't need money can borrow money. But the poor person who doesn't have money but needs it, you know, can't get it. The person who needs it can't get it. The person who doesn't need it can get all he wants. And honestly, that is a really important statement about a thing that is wrong with our society.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll have to talk more about Vegas in the next episode. But I'm glad we were able to end on such a high note.
Yeah, that's what's wrong with
of discussing what's wrong with our economic system.
Yeah, after telling you how to launder money.
We're going to tell you how to launder money, and then we're going to bitch about the fact that poor people can't get a loan.
Yeah.
But if you're too poor and get a loan, that's bad though, right? Or like a loan you can't afford.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? Never loaning money. Like, I've had my bank account for like 12 years. I've never bounced a check. I tried to borrow $2,000 to buy a car. They wouldn't loan it to me because they say my credit score is too low.
Yeah.
I have a steady job that I more than easily could pay back a $2,000 loan. But they wouldn't give it to me. And I needed a car so I could get to and from work. So, I ended up borrowing my dad's car for a little while to get to and from work. And then I had to just save money and bought a car paying cash.
Yeah.
But I should have been able to borrow $2,000 to buy a used car from someone.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I mean, I wasn't asking to borrow, you know, $5,000 so I could go off to Vegas and be a crazy person. Yeah. I was asking to purchase transportation so I could get to and from work.
But you did.
I should have been able to do that, yeah. and I couldn't. And if I seem bitter, it's because I'm bitter.
You had proof that you could pay it back and everything?
Oh yeah, I showed him my pay stubs I was working at the time at the same place I work now, actually. But thanks for coming to do the podcast.
Yeah, no problem.
I guess next episode I'll talk more about my trip to Vegas. I'll probably edit out that spot earlier where I talked about having sex with my girlfriend.
No, keep that in there because I like how you said how it costed money and like.
Leave it in there.
No, because you said about the. I don't know. Never mind.
I don't remember exactly what I said now. Something but she Vegas will she will remind me.
Oh, it was about having sex a lot in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, that's what Vegas is. That's what Vegas is for.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with saying that. Or she would just get mad?
She likes getting mad at me.
Listen here, girlfriend.
girlfriend.
No, because I'm never going to see her
soon. Oh, well, okay.
Well, no, I mean, not never going to see her, but I'm going to see her anytime soon.
I love my girlfriend.
Let him talk about having
I love you.
Wow. With you.
She's sweet.
You should have a one whole podcast where you just record yourself as if you're talking to your girlfriend when she listens to it later.
I did
the Valentine's
special. I did one episode of this podcast by myself one time, and that was a horrible mistake.
Yeah.
Because I just started rambling as I didn't really know what to talk about. And I remember the line that I can remember that I actually said this was, I hope she dumps me before I fall in love with her. What kind of bullshit is that?
Why would anyone want to hear that kind of podcast?
I don't know. This was when I first started seeing Marie, and you know, I liked her a lot, yeah, and but you know, I felt like, well, you know, I'm just not. She's not gonna. I was still in that I'm not good enough for anybody mindset. And when you know, now I realize, you know what, anyone is good enough for everyone because we're all desperate for a little bit of human connection. Everyone is. You are. I am. My girl is. You are. Your girlfriend is. Everyone is. Everyone. Everyone is.
Well, Jeremiah and is calling right now.
If you can connect with someone on that level, that's what you really need. But anyway, thanks for coming to do the podcast. Appreciate a lot. You got anything, Will? You got anything coming up you want to plug?
Okay, guys. First Friday's Zen Walk Fusion starting in September. We're gonna do that. So yeah, it's a free comedy show in Tower District at Zen Walk, and the first Fridays of every month.
Awesome.
In September. Yeah.
Cool. It's on Olive Avenue. It's right next door to a barbershop that will be closed.
Oh, it's going to close down?
No. It'll just be closed because it's not open that late.
I think it might because they're doing it. Well, let's not get into that.
Well, it'll still be. Yeah. You know, the barbershop's there. It'll be closed that late.
Yeah, 609 East Olive.
And it's also next door to this sort of fast food restaurant that sells donuts.
Donut shop.
It's pretty good though. They do pretty good.
If you guys are around, get some donuts. They're really good.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, not if you go to the show, you have to buy something at the venue.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, he started doing a one item minimum?
Yeah, it's free show, but you have to purchase something. Because a lot of people just came, like, there'd be like 10 people who came and drank water, and then I'd be like, hey, could I have money for the performers? And it's kind of shitty.
Yeah. Yeah, I can certainly see that. I mean, the show is free. The least you can do is buy a fucking soda.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are not a comedian.
No, I'm not a comedian.
So you probably don't have any performances you need to play.
No, I would probably...
Is there anything you would like to tell us about?
No.
You have the opportunity to open up and bare your soul to your adoring public
now.
Do
you want me to rant?
Did you want to come out of the closet at this point?
No.
Okay,
this is actually my first podcast.
He's staying in the closet.
So
this is
that's cool.
Okay, cool. All right. Michael's going to stay in the closet for a little bit longer. I'm just kidding.
That's awesome.
Look at that haircut. He's out. I'm sorry. That was horrible.
Really?
You didn't deserve that. You came all the way over here doing me a favor, and I got to talk shit about you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's why they didn't like you in the Navy.
Yeah, that is probably why. thanks a lot for coming to do the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm JT Foreman. I've been here with William Eschbaugh and Michael Eschbaugh. We are the Bitter Comics, and I'll talk to you next week. Peace.